And now, the thrilling continuation of the SML podcast.
I am your God. In a world. It's seriously like speech jammer trying to talk and then hearing yourself talk back. It's weird. It's weird.
Freaking me out.
It's what?
It's what?
It works better when you talk happy.
Why?
Because. I'm keeping all of this.
Is that better now, or?
Yes.
Hey. Yes.
Okay.
I do not hear myself anymore.
Yeah, right. We're using Skype, and Skype is a notoriously retarded program that only does the bare minimum when it comes to voice chat.
Which means it is perfect for our show.
Yeah, but it won't. There's no way that you can mute the speaker and have it only record, you know, your voice. It'll take in everything because it's dumb.
Yeah, I left my good headphones with the microphone at work, so
good place for it.
Yeah, I had to find my other pair.
It's okay. Over the weekend, we talked to the guys from Starpoint Gemini, and it legit sounded like the one was being kidnapped in a basement.
Oh.
Well, they did admit to being Bulgarian terrorists.
Yeah,
so.
True.
So when you tell a company you're not interested, they go from sending you one piece of mail every week to one piece of mail every 3 days.
What company?
Kind of counterintuitive. Honda.
Interesting.
Yeah, because I own one, and I'm not interested in buying a new one because I own one.
But that would mean you need a new one.
Apparently.
So do you have any questions for us before we get the show going?
Nope, that sounds pretty good to me.
All right, are you all set up and all ready on your end?
I should be, yeah.
All righty.
All right, Joe, you ready for the opening?
I don't know. Am I?
There we go.
You're the worst.
I'm the durst.
I'm
the Fred Durst.
If only we could fly. Limp Bizkit. SML podcast.
Now that we've crop dursted the audience, let's do this.
Yeah, what's up, everybody? Fred Durst here.
And I'm happy.
Oh, man. What's up, everyone? This is Joe.
And I'm Pappy.
This is SNL Podcast, episode 148, creeping up on that 150. And
yeah, when you
go
do
figure potatoes about to jump up on the desk. Almost got the show
going. Do you
have
an interview lined up for tomorrow?
Potato. No, because I'm going to watch NXT tomorrow. But we do have an interview set for right now. Joining us from this weird state called Pennsylvania. The way over yonder by Pittsburgh is Mr. Matthew DeLucas. How are you doing?
I'm good.
For the people who don't know who you are, explain to us who exactly you are and why you're on our show tonight.
Why are you on our
All right. I'm an independent developer in Pittsburgh, and I am on the show today to talk about Battle High 2 A Plus, which is my first game that I'm releasing on Xbox One. It comes out tomorrow, actually.
Yay! Or technically, this will probably be released tomorrow, so it's out now!
Yeah!
Go download it now, kids. So for people who don't know what the game is, give us the sales pitch. Sell us the game.
So it's a 2D fighting game inspired by older titles like The King of Fighters and Street Fighter. That's really about it. It takes place in a high school similar to rival schools, but all the characters control different elements. So there's a fire user and an electricity user and things like that. So it's just a real simple, easy fighting game to get into, one of those easy to pick up but hard to master things.
I can attest to the hard to master thing because I have gotten my ass kicked handily multiple times.
I have not lost a single fight.
What? You are yes. full of shit.
No, I'm not full of shit. I never change. Whatever the default difficulty is, I've been playing the default difficulty since installing the game, and I beat the game with two characters and am halfway with another character. Cause unfortunately, I've only put about 40 minutes into the game. So I beat it with Tina, the ice girl. Then I beat it with the angry girl, and now I'm playing the guy with the rock arm because I'm really good with names, so this is how I describe it. And now I'm playing the guy with the rock arm, and I'm undefeated through four battles. I have never even been KO'd once.
Wow.
I found my savant game, I guess.
See, I at least I've tried giving it a go on the hardest difficulty, and I'm just – I have gotten my ass handed to me a number of times.
That's fair.
I'm bad.
I can see it being – yeah. Now, I won't argue. As I learned the controls, I spammed the shit out of that ice ball button with my first game.
You cheeser.
Oh, fuck yeah. It's the CPU. I don't care about the CPU. I do have one question for you, because I was actually thinking about that. Well, you said you were kind of inspired a little bit by the older fighters, including the earlier Street Fighter. Thanks to that being a bit of a draw for you, you have now forced me to utter fucking Dalsum motherfucker like four times to my TV screen. That magician dude and his arms.
Why is this so funny?
I don't know. But no, very, I mean, like you said, you didn't, it's obvious that you've been inspired by different games, but you by no means just took. But because of that guy's fucking arm punch thing, I was screaming that at my TV.
Fucking Dalsum motherfucker. Why is that so funny to me? Oh my god.
You're reacting like it is way funnier than I thought it would be.
I didn't sleep well last night, and I've been up all day, so I'm kind of stupid right now. More than usual. More than usual.
Stupider.
I legit have a question from Shizblacka. He was the kind gentleman who was streaming your game last night on Twitch. He wanted me to ask you if the game was inspired by real American high schools. And I said I can confirm it was because I have elemental powers myself.
There are some aspects that, sure, maybe were inspired by my high school experience, but I wouldn't say it's really heavily inspired by that.
I mean, I'll admit, I never met anyone with Dalsum-like arms that stretch.
Motherfucker.
Dalsum mother... You're the worst.
No, I mean, so I'm just assuming that you, much like us, have superpowers and you know about other people who would have an underground fight ring in high school.
Sure, of course I
can control fire. It usually involves flatulence, but yes, I can control fire.
You actually stole my joke of saying I actually have power over noxious clouds.
Yes.
But thanks, Joe.
Suck a dick,
thanks,
Pappy.
We're on the same channel here.
Suck a dick.
What I want to ask, what I was enjoying that your storylines aren't always like finding the good in people. Was that a conscious decision that not all your storylines are going to have like super happy endings kind of things?
Yeah, for the most part. I tried to. One thing is, I know Battle High 2 doesn't have the best story delivery of fighting games out there, but I tried to be a little more unique in the writing of the story as best I could, which, again, fighting game story is sort of always put on the back burner, so it's not the deepest, you know, Pulitzer Prize-winning writing, but, you know, I tried to put a little variety in there.
Yeah, 90% of fighting games, you don't know there's a story until you see an end cutscene.
I would argue that you did one of the better ones because you have a midpoint and an endpoint of actual conversation that tells a bit of a story.
Plus, each character has a journal with actual like background and story, which
you wrote everything in understandable English, so you're already way ahead of a lot of our imports, where you know we've joked about fighting game conversations for years. You
Congratulations
know.
On that! So winner is you. Other all your base, I don't know, whatever.
And I just kind of liked playing the crazy chick who you win the fight, she screams, you know, I'll see you in hell. I'm like, yeah,
that's your ex-wife.
Oh, thank god my ex-wife didn't have the power of beating the shit out of me.
She should have.
Maybe that was her thing. Maybe that's why we're divorced now. Just didn't even know.
Oh, man, we're the worst. So, your game is releasing on Xbox One, and it's only going to be $5, which surprised the hell out of me, given how in-depth and the amount of content is in this game. There's what, 15 characters?
Yes. Why does that sound wrong? Like I say that because every time I had to check something with a character list, I'd write down everyone's name and then make a checklist, and I would always miss one. So like, and it was always a different one. It was always a different character I'd miss. And this time I'm like, because we had eight. No, it's 14 now.
Yeah, because that last, it's three rows of five, but that one in the bottom row is a random.
Yeah.
Why did I think it was four?
I don't know. You're dumb.
Yeah, there's 14 now, and okay, hopefully if I get the chance, we'll probably add at least two more in the future updates.
Nice. Are you looking to make that paid DLC or just free update?
I kind of want to see how much it, like, how well the game does and what the interest is. Like, if there's not a lot of, if there's like a small group that like it, I might just be like, well, I have to charge for it because I'm going to have to get another voice actor and do background art and all that stuff. But, you know, if the game does well enough, I might just be like, oh, I don't really need to charge for it. I might just do it.
I'll be your voice actor.
Spend the $5, guys, and buy the game so you can get some free DLC down the road.
I'll be the voice actor.
And that's for the $5 price point.
And I'll be honest, I'm enjoying this game as a fighter more than shit. Any fighting game since I was 19, which would have been back in 2000.
You're old.
Like, no, well, the only game I've enjoyed between then and now that was a fighting game was Marvel Capcom. But in terms of your traditional fighters, like, I like how yours is more simplified. Like, why did you go that route instead of like the Blaze Blue or the Street Fighter Alpha 14 Omega VHD kind of crap, you know, of having to master 47 moves just to fight somebody.
Yeah. Well, I did that because there was a lot of, there is always that issue of, I want my friends to play this, but I have to teach them how to do, you know, a Hadouken and like all the different complex stuff. And though I still have that in my game, I tried to be a lot more lenient with it. And I also don't have a lot of strict timing with combos. So I tried to avoid a lot of that stuff. And that's mostly just so people can pick it up and start playing, as opposed to having to really learn how to spend a lot of time learning the basics. There's a game that came out recently called Rising Thunder by Seth and Radiant Games, and one of their Radiant Entertainment, and one of their designers worked on Street Fighter, and he was mentioning the same problem as well. So, and he's been saying it for a while, so I was kind of influenced by that. I did contemplate at one time, the reason I bring him up is their game, it's literally like forward and punch, and you do a special move. And there was an early version where I contemplated on going that simple, but I felt, part of me wonders how the game would be received if I did that anyway, but there is a part of me still that feels that would have been a little too simple.
Yeah, I'm not big into fighting games, but I think even that is too simple. Unless you go all out dive kick style, where there's literally two buttons.
Yeah. No, I think you set it up, you have got the simple combos like the early Mortal Kombat, but then there's nothing more complicated. There's no like up, down, left, left, down, left, BA, up for an attack, you know?
And which is always good. With the A for effort, is that what you said?
I said and yay for that.
Oh. A for effort. Affort.
A for effort.
Oh, man, you're the worst.
Huh?
You are legit the worst person, Pappy.
Yeah, you know, I have noticed, though, that our guest has yet to swear.
I know.
That's freaking me out a little
bit.
And
you've been the lead of so much of the cursing today.
I know. Just a laugh and nothing else. So anyhow, now that my other question is that super combo, that one when you fill up your bar, you've got that super. Again, was it a decision to make it such a short range attack?
For which character are you referring to?
All three that I've done so far. I can pull up a list of the.
Well, Ma is the ice person. Hers is very short range.
Yeah, hers was super short. Like, I literally had to be, like, kneeing a guy in the nuts in order to hit him.
I forget the name of the move, but in King of Fighters, that move is actually influenced by one of Athena's special super moves or whatever. So that's sort of how that one is. The idea is that you have to be really close, and then it pops the character up and continues the combo. Michelle's isn't that far close.
Maybe it felt like it because it was the other thing is they're really easy to dodge or dissipate.
Yes, they are. They are that. What I was going to add is that I kind of wanted to do a lot of the moves in that you're rewarded if you intelligently put them into a combo as opposed to just like throwing them out there.
Yeah, no, I got a couple of 6 and 8 hit combos I was pretty proud of because of the damage they did. And Kazuo was the third guy I started playing with, but I forgot how bad I am with slower characters. I probably won't go undefeated with him.
That's because you're bad.
His super is actually interesting because there was a time where it was like almost impossible to dodge because the hands would come up so quick that they were instant hit. So that's something that's been changed over time. But
no more nerfing.
Since we're discussing the special bar, I actually have a question about it. I know I have done multiple times like a shadow move or like a shadow dodge. I don't know how I did it or like what it is. I don't know if there's a command for it. I tried looking through the help manual that comes with the game and I'm just, what the fuck did I do? And how do I do it again?
you did what's called a rush cancel, or that's what I called it anyway. And if you go into the challenge mode and do the training combo, some of the later combos will have it, but it's essentially just dashing in the middle of an attack.
All right.
Or in the air. So if you jump and then dash, you kind of can, you cancel, it uses 1/3 of the meter, and then you kind of dash forward and continues combo. And one other thing it does is, for example, it resets the juggle. So if you do a move that juggles and then you do a second one, you can't do a third attack. But if you do a rush cancel, you can actually continue it then and do another attack.
All right. See, I'm learning.
So the whole idea behind the meter was that you build up the whole 3 bars. Then it flashes, meaning you can do the super. And then if you're really good, the idea is that you could string along a long combo with the 3 dash cancels and then end it with the super.
Ah.
Yeah, Joe, you knew.
I told you, I'm terrible at everything.
That's fair.
I'm just a horrible person.
If you haven't played the game with Michelle yet, Joe, I recommend it because her sheer rage after winning every battle was actually pretty entertaining.
I'm trying to think which characters I use so far. I think it's Jiro. Is he the one that it default starts on?
Yeah.
Him, I did Lucio and...
Lucio!
Yeah, and there was a third one that I was working on, but the game actually locked up on me. I was going to mention this. When I was watching Shiz play last night, I noticed it happen with him as well. It's the only 2 times I've seen it happen so far, but I would be in the middle of doing a move and then just stop. And the opponent doesn't move, I don't move, and I just have to wait for the round to time out. Is that something that you've ran into at all? Or did we just get really lucky?
If I would have ran into that, I would have really tried to fix that. I'll have to look into that and obviously try and fix it for the update. Do you remember what characters you were playing?
I don't remember what he was playing, but with me, I believe it was Jiro. And it was just, I want to say it was one of the special moves. I don't know if me and the computer hit each other at the same time and it just kind of like locked it up, or I really... don't know. If I wasn't stupid, I would have said Xbox record that, and then I could have been like, hey, it's this.
But unfortunately...
Hindsight is 2020.
Yeah. On the plus side, I haven't had that issue at all yet. I have only witnessed one issue, and that's when on my screen where it shows the verses, you know how it pans your character from left to right, and then the opponent from... or your character from right to left, and then the opponent from left to right. It stops halfway across my TV and then like pauses for like a half second and then jumps back to panning them again.
That's all. Again, it was sort of just working with the loading. That's just
Yeah, it just seemed like a loading hiccup.
It's just a loading hiccup. Yeah, someone else pointed that out, and at first I was like, oh no, and then I was like, oh, I could have probably done the loading screen a little more elegantly so that you don't notice that hiccup, but...
But as a gamer, if that was going to cause me to rage quit your game, I'd be kind of an asshole about that.
Yeah, Pappy, get your shit together.
It doesn't affect anything. But I guarantee someone's going to bitch about it. Like, someone's going to pick up the game and actively, like, be, like, all sorts of heartbroken by
Pappy,
that.
Pappy, are you implying that a gamer is going to bitch about something in video gaming?
That does not affect the game experience whatsoever, yes.
What? How could you ever insinuate that a gamer would bitch about something?
Because we have already witnessed it personally.
I don't believe you.
Yeah. You don't believe that you've witnessed anything? Yeah, I'm going to go blow my nose on that earth-shattering revelation.
Yes, that gamers are assholes. I believe that's one of the running themes of our show, is that gamers... Yeah, we've said it so many times on our show. Gamers will find anything in the world to complain about. Because... they're assholes. So anyway, Battle High first started on the Xbox 360 as an indie game, correct?
Well, actually, the history of Battle High is much older than that. That was my first release of it when I first started working on it. So there was a team before me that made a Game Maker version. This was a couple years ago, like 4 or 5 years ago now. And they approached me... after I had posted a Game Maker prototype, and they were like, oh, do you want to work on our game? And I was like, sure, I'll help. And then I didn't see that note for about 4 months, though, so they were practically done. But when I came onto the team, I was like, oh, this Xbox 360 indie program just started. You know, can I port it? And they were like, sure, go ahead. That'd be cool. So I ported the whole Game Maker game from that to XNA, pretty much rewrote the whole thing. And then that was the first time I had worked on it and released it on something.
All right, so I'm guessing Battle High is an established property before the game?
Yeah, like not, I wouldn't say it's like really well-known established, but yeah, there was an IP existing before that.
See, I did not know that.
I was kind of hoping that it was going to be a sequel to a game that never existed, like, just for fun. Next one be Battle High 5? You're just going to skip 3 and 4?
I was going to say, who were the guys that were on that talked about they released a game and it was the third, but there was never a 1 or 2?
Yeah, they never do 1 or 2. They were thinking about doing prequels, but they actually released their first game as something 3.
Yeah.
And then they decided to never do another one again.
Developers are funny.
Yeah.
So tell us a bit about Battle High. Like, what is it? What is the IP? Where did it stem from? Was it like a comic or some kind of like animated series?
Well, it's not any of that. It's actually the original team who made the Game Maker version. It was just a game that they were all really passionate about and worked on for a while. And then I forget the sprite artist is the main Vanny. Is the main head of the IP. Like, he's technically the IP owner, and he's sort of lending it to me to make these additional versions since he's no longer working on it. But he was inspired by some anime. I want to say it's called, like, Crow Zero, which is totally not what it is, but it sounds like that. But it essentially also takes place in high school. So it's that based off that high school anime show.
Yeah, I got the feel that Battle Royale High School, which was an older anime. I kind of got that feeling from it.
Yeah. If anyone would know the anime, it would be Pappy.
Yeah, you say Crow Zero. I'm like, I've never heard of that at all. So
it's
I'm
something. I feel like it's something with either the word crow or the word zero in it, but probably not.
Crow Zero is apparently 3 Japanese live action movies.
Oh, unless it's that. Unless it's that, and I just didn't.
Oh, directed by Takashi Miike. How have I not seen it? Yeah, it's a gang of students in all-boys high school, so you could be pretty close with that.
Actually, that may be it, and yeah. I just never
and then
have
they
seen
made
it.
A mega. No, that's, anyway, that's fair. But so, now so I have thing, a movie to go find.
But after I, you know, did the XNA version, or started it, I kind of just was like, hey, can I just kind of do my own story thing? And because they weren't really committed to the story at the time. So sort of all the story bits from that version onward are kind of stuff I wrote, but I always would check with Bonnie. He's like, hey, can I do this? And there are some character names. He's like, oh, don't change that. For example, Kai, I think, is the name of a friend of his, so he didn't want me to change that character's name. But things like that, sort of. And then I was mostly influenced by Avatar The Last Airbender, hence the element stuff.
Yeah.
And then some of the characters are X-Men influenced. Mostly Michelle, at the time when we designed her, I was playing a lot of Marvel vs. Capcom 3. And I was trying to main Jean Grey or Phoenix. So she's heavily influenced by that.
Is Jada your Storm?
A little bit.
Because I know Shiz was either playing as her or against her last night. And he kept making all these jokes of Jada, like Jada Pinkett Smith. But no, Holly Berry is Storm, so he's got this all wrong.
He's Canadian, so.
Yeah, I'm sure Canada is, like, they have, like, Storm A, or, like, Jada.
I don't know. So. I don't even know where you're going with that one.
Holly Berry?
Just glad that you said Kai was a friend of his. He didn't want you to change his name, because... Rowan, I thought you'd said Klein, and I would have felt bad about calling him a Dawson motherfucker.
Oh, Pappy, you're the worst tonight.
I'm swearing up a goddamn storm.
Yeah, what the fuck?
It might have something to do with the fact that my entire body is trying to leak out through my sinuses today.
That's always fun.
Yeah. So another question I've got now that I'm a little more acquainted with everything going on. Why Pittsburgh?
Why not? No,
Joe and I were, you know, raised in the Northeast. I lived in Jersey for 5 years, just southeast of Philly. So I always liked to rag. And I got a really good friend who lives in Pittsburgh. Even though he decided to get a film degree.
I grew up in Eastern PA near Allentown. So when I was growing up, I was like, I want to make games, and so. Of all the colleges, I picked one that was close, or it was in the state, so I went to the Art Institute of Pittsburgh. Maybe not the best decision in retrospect, but I did graduate, and I got a job at Shell Games in Pittsburgh, and I've been there for over 7 years now. So that is why Pittsburgh.
There is games in Pittsburgh.
Not a lot, but yeah, there are a few game studios. There's mostly Shell Games is... I think it's the largest, and it probably is. I'm trying to be modest, but it probably is the largest one. There's a few other smaller startups. And
I know Atlanta's been growing really big in video games for the last couple of years. I really know nothing about the Pittsburgh gaming.
It's kind of small right now. It's mostly just Shell Games, and then we're trying to actually – I'm not one of the head people doing it, but we're trying to start a bigger indie scene. We're trying to grow that. We're starting a group called Bitbridge. We're trying to grow that and get more independent developers.
Hey, I'll be honest. Battle High though is a good start. I honestly have a couple of friends who are big into fighting games. I'm trying to get them to, you know, show out the money for it and give it a try.
Especially because it's only $5.
Yeah.
We're in a day and age where the cheap indie games are still $15 anymore, and for people to be putting out $5 games, those seem like immediate buys. Like, you need to support that shit.
Well, and it's $5 for 14 players, so what does that work out to here on the
old math? You're asking me to do math? What is wrong with you?
I'm doing it for you.
Dude, we went to Berwick. Nobody knows math.
That's less than 36 cents a character. You're not getting that on freaking HD Remix 14.
You're not getting that with Mortal Kombat, where you were actually paying $10 for a friggin' character.
We were joking about the names and how the fighting – this one went into the good field. So many of the fighting games just went weird with all their titles, you know. And we decided the only ones that really stayed normal was King of Fighters and Mortal Kombat. And then I'd say Battle High 2, because you only put an A-plus on there. It's not like Battle High 2, A-plus, HD, you know.
Alpha Remix.
Yeah. So
4.
I think putting you in King of Fighters and Mortal Kombat territory is a compliment, personally. Well,
the A-plus just shows that it's a special edition, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, see?
Yeah, there we go. So.
It could have been HD Remix.
Seriously, what was the last Street Fighter game? Full title?
The last one was Ultra Street Fighter 4.
Yeah.
Which is one of their shorter titles.
Yeah. The longest one...
is probably Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo HD Remix.
Yeah, that would probably be the longest one. And that's the one that most people usually make fun of. There's also Street Fighter EX Plus Alpha.
Yeah, which everyone loves the Plus Alpha because of that game.
Plus Alpha.
But if we're talking HD Remix, you can't deny that soundtrack.
I'll take your word for it. I don't know if I've listened to the soundtrack.
The soundtrack is basically done by OC Remix.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, all right. If OCR had a hand in it, then
Shale Riley's in the goddamn game.
You know, then I probably heard it and just didn't know it because you just kind of give me music and I listen to it. And
yeah,
go,
probably.
Oh, yes, this is music I like.
Friend of SML, Shale Riley. I wonder how many people who've been on this show are in HD Remix, because we have had a lot of overclock guys on here.
Yeah. Oh, we've interviewed almost all the bad dudes too.
True. We've had most of them. We do need Dishu.
His nervous laugh. We need that on this show.
So good. So what kind of music is in Battle High? Who is the composer? Who's the man behind the music?
It's actually several people. It mostly is. Well, the latest version was. So we did the first game, and there was some old music, and then it was a variety of contractors who were just like, "Hey, do you want to make a song? Just 2 to 3 minutes, non-looping," and they would just do it. One of my coworkers did a few. He did, I think, 3 tracks. And then for the second version, the sequel, I found a musician named Jesse Valentine who remixed a bunch of them. Unfortunately, he's kind of gone radio silent. And for the newest character, Lucio, I had to find another musician I want to say it's Alberto Martino of Red Bamboo Leaf. Is his
Alberto Del Rio?
No, Martino. Sorry. And, his Red Bamboo Leaf is his SoundCloud or portfolio, I think. But he just did one new track. I like to work with a variety of people essentially on the soundtrack. I like to say, you know, here's the character, here's some information, and then let them kind of, you know, make something that works for the character, as opposed to just getting one musician to do everything.
Yeah.
I like that for one is, you know, if the person's like, hey, I don't have time to do, you know, 15 songs, you know, here's one. I find that a lot more easy to work with than, you know, for example, with the current sound designer I mentioned, he kind of went radio silent. So the problem is, you know, oh, I was waiting for these songs and now I don't know what to do. Should I just go with someone else or should I keep waiting? So I try to just find people who are interested in doing stuff and sort of, you know, go from there, as opposed to trying to get one person to do everything.
Well, if you're ever looking for anyone to do music, one of our co-hosts is desperate to get some music in a video game, I guess we could say.
And he's a whore, so that's a good combination.
He's very whory.
He's a whore.
I thought he said he was a horse, and I was like, that won't help.
He's
that
actually too. The world's first drumming horse.
Yes.
That's why he's always on tour.
Yes.
But he will never say nay to your request.
you son of a bitch.
Yeah, that's actually an interesting. I have never been part of an interview where we asked about the music side and all of that, but
you're
that
fired.
Does make sense if you're still doing the indie thing and you're trying to get, you know, indie musicians to work out. Yeah, that's a good question. I wonder is it easier for the majority to just get one person and kind of do a contract where they can't disappear, or is it more fun to just, you know, be like, hey, I got 15 levels or 15 characters. Anybody want to do one or two?
I think it mostly depends on the type of game. Like, I think fighting games work really well with the, you know, get different musicians to do different songs style, because every character has their own track or every stage, so you can kind of get different styles and variety in it, as opposed to if I were to make, like, a longer platformer, I feel like I'd want to work with one person to sort of go
make that
all
music
that stuff.
Work. Yeah.
Speaking of, Chris just walked in, so the drumming horse is in the room.
We've decided
that you are a drumming horse now.
I'm a horse?
Yes.
Yeah.
Really? I'm a horse of course. Hi guys. How are you?
There's no one here.
What do you? But I hear you. I can hear you now.
So just a miscommunication. I called you a whore. Our guest heard horse. So we're just running with it. I mean, which would you rather be, really?
I mean, I guess both.
Now, on the plus side, we're talking about potentially having you do music for a video game.
I'm down for that. I mean, my schedule definitely, like, sucks ass right now, but, I mean, obviously I'd be down for that, so I'd make time for that.
There we go. Making hookups on the SML podcast.
Yeah, well, the only reason why I'm not on the podcast right now is because tonight's, like, the last night to attempt to apply for healthcare, and I've been, like, calling and being on, like, a bajillion websites, and it's not going so well, so...
I'm sorry to hear that. Open up your Christmas present. It'll cheer you up.
I did. I'm going to use it to buy Blood Bowl.
Sweet.
Because it's on sale for, like, $25.
You got to put all the cards on the fridge in proper order so that all the... insulting makes sense.
Yeah, we read them out in the correct order and worked out awesome. Perfectly. And actually, the other thing that I'm going to be doing tonight, and this is slightly hypocritical of me, is I'm going to watch Star Wars for the first time.
How is that hypocritical? Have you said that you will never watch Star Wars?
I had absolutely zero interest in it, like,
yeah,
my entire life.
It's not like vowing that you would never do it. That's just saying, hey, I'm going to get watch Star Wars, even though I never really gave a shit.
Yeah, and I'm going to be 100% perfectly honest with you. I still don't really give a shit, but I'm just going to, like, because I had a long day, I'm just going to consume some herbal supplements and then watch Star Wars for the first time. And I'm sure that'll make
actually,
it better.
I would watch the original trilogy, and then the herbal supplements might make you actually laugh at Jar Jar.
That okay, well, see, now here's the thing, though. Everybody's told me if I watch 4, 5, and 6 and then I genuinely enjoy it, then
you
go back to watch 1, 2, and 3 just because it's more.
But if you watch 1, 2, and 3, you might never want to watch 4, 5, and 6.
That's why I'm watching 4, 5, and 6 first.
Okay,
that's what you're not the first person to tell me that, so that's why I'm doing it that way.
It's damned if you do, damned if you don't, is really what it comes down to.
I presume so. Okay, so here, I'm not going to, like, overtake this interview.
No, hey,
for that
hey
long.
Great talking to you, Chris. Glad to know you're...
It was nice talking to you for, like, a minute.
I'm stealing the show back. Now that Chris absolutely destroyed the microphone levels.
I'm sorry.
So, yeah, video games.
Fighting games.
Let's talk about fighting games and Star Wars. Have you ever played the Star Wars fighting game?
I never
was
have.
There a
it is a piece of shit.
Ah, well, that's probably a good reason why.
Well, actually, I
what console?
PlayStation.
Oh, that's old school then.
PS1?
Yep.
Huh.
I just remember Vader and Yoda being in what, Soul Calibur 4 or 5 was it?
Yeah, and Yoda
it was in
4.
4.
It's a Star Wars Masters of Teras Kasi. I can't even say it. There's two umlauted A's.
Gotta love the umlauts.
Yeah.
Fucking umlauts everywhere, man.
Yeah.
Umlauts and Dalzim. What the fuck?
Reception. Received mixed reviews. That's a pretty nice way of putting no one ever heard of it. Inferior when compared to Soul Edge, Tekken, and Virtua Fighter. So inferior when compared to all other fighting games out of the time.
Inferior when compared to everything ever.
And a lightsaber was a baseball bat.
Yeah, I never played that game myself, so I cannot verify how big of a piece of shit it is, but if it's a PS1 game, I fully believe that it is a piece of shit. Because the PS1 license games were pretty much all garbage.
Screw Attack placed it at number 10 on their top 10 worst.
Nice.
And for whatever it's worth, some other magazine said it was number 3 of the 5 Star Wars, but I don't know. It doesn't have a list of what they are. And I could just hear Chris in the background.
Yeah, he's a loud son of a bitch, I know, right? I told you, he just destroyed the levels for my microphone on this.
You're welcome.
They would be, like, super loud, so it would be clipping, and then just mumble, he'd just mumble like this. And then he'd be super loud, and then just... Yeah, I'm going to compress afterwards. I don't have the live compressor thing like your magical setup, Chris. My computer might explode if I tried doing that.
That's very true.
So yeah, Battle High. I hear that's a pretty good game. So what made you bring it back to Xbox after being an indie game? And am I correct that I saw it went to like the Ouya or?
It did. Essentially, after XNA, I ported it to a different game engine called Unity 3D. The quick story on that engine is it lets you go to a lot of different platforms pretty easily. And
can someone move Chris away to another room?
Chris, you are being requested to leave the room because you are louder than the rest of everything.
Are you kidding me? Yeah, I can't hear the interviewer. This is no insult. I just can't hear the interviewer.
Pappy said he can't hear the interviewer because of how loud you are over Skype.
Or interviewee. Yes.
Pappy said yes, he can hear you. The microphone isn't picking up them at all, but Skype is. So.
Yeah, because Skype is a dick.
Yes.
So anyhow, you went to Unity.
Unity 3D.
Yep. Or that's what it used to. I think it's just called. I don't know what people call it now. It used to be Unity 3D, but now people make 2D shit in it. Anyway, ported that, and the first thing I was like, well, I'll try doing it on Ouya first. Because at first, I was really excited about the Ouya. I wanted the Ouya to be so good, and it just wasn't.
I think everybody was hopeful that the Ouya would be good. Anything.
Yeah, I think when I talk to coworkers about it, I always go back to, I think they marketed too heavily towards developers. Like, it's great to get developers on your platform and you want that, but I think they did too much of that. So then consumers were like, what the hell is this micro console shit?
Yeah, and pretty much.
Yeah, I remember one friend bought the Ouya, and then it fell behind his TV stand and he didn't even notice it for like 4 months.
until
we moved it to dust or something. And just like, oh, hey, ooh, yeah.
It's like, oh, that's where that thing was.
Yeah, so anyway, I did it on Ouya because it was sort of the test run to say, is this porting going to work? And I actually tried to port it to Unity 3 times, and I failed the first 2 because I tried to, like, redo everything. And I just was like, oh, I'm so sick of this, and I just quit. And then this final version, I literally took the C# code from XNA and just copied it right into Unity and changed some stuff, and it worked. And it was so... If I had done that first, I probably would have had the game done for Ouya like the beginning of 2014, because like it just took so long. And also, Matrified Games, the company I own, it's really more of a side business, or I say I work part time in my business that I own, which sounds silly, but that's sort of how I was approaching it. And when I released the Ouya version, anyway, after the Ouya version, the ID at Xbox program was kind of on like running, it was sort of going, it didn't just start, but the idea is that it's a way for independent developers to get onto Xbox One with some help, regardless of size. So that's sort of why I put it on Xbox One after Ouya.
All right, what other platforms has it been on? Is it available on Steam, or is it going to be making its way to Nintendo or PlayStation at all?
Right now, it's definitely Xbox One exclusive. Like, any new updates will be Xbox One exclusive. There is a version available on Desura, sort of the defunct Steam. That one hasn't been updated in a while. And then there's also a version available on itch.io, but that is more of a beta one. I kind of said, like, hey, it's free, but it's beta, and stuff's going to be really broken, so that's sort of what that one is. My goal for next year would be to update the Ouya version with the new content in the Xbox One version, as well as possibly look into a Steam version. Something for me, PC games, because I feel works best with a controller or joystick, fighting games, that Steam versions are not my top priority.
Yeah.
And also the whole green light process, I feel like the game, because it doesn't have online, it would have kind of a hard time getting through. Because I feel like the first complaint would be, there's no online, I don't care. Which sounds silly because I put it on Xbox One and that would probably also be a complaint. That's also why I went to the $4.99 price point as opposed to, $10 or $15. Because I was like, there's no online, I'd rather just not charge the whole $10 for it. But as for other platforms, next year I definitely want to look into doing... a PC and Steam version, but because I kind of do this as a hobby, as a passion project, I don't like to promise anything. I don't know. You said you read the help files, but if you go to the FAQ, I kind of explain that in some of my questions. That's just like, hey, I can't promise anything because stuff happens.
Yeah. Yeah, that's life. Life always happens.
But if you're doing this kind of on the side, yeah, it's best not to make guarantees.
Yeah.
That's why I never guarantee Joe that I'll ever show up on the show, because I have a real job.
Yeah.
It's also why I don't do Kickstarters. Like, I thought about doing a Kickstarter for this game, but I was just like, there's so much work, and that's actually the main thing. It's just, you don't just like put a Kickstarter out there. I put the Kickstarter out there. Now I have to watch my email for the next 30 days nonstop.
Yeah.
And, you know, most Kickstarters are like, hey, we're doing this game. We want to be able to pay the people who work on it, or pay for this, or, you know, the honest ones I like are always, we need to pay 3 people full time. The only way to do that is to raise enough to let them quit whatever job they have, you know?
Yeah.
Honesty of, yeah, I really want to make this game, but can't guarantee it'll be this year. Kind of have other things going on. I'm not sure that Kickstarter would succeed anyway.
Yeah, it's crazy to see how many Kickstarters nowadays are not necessarily failing, but they're just getting delayed forever.
Like, I've been really careful about what I support nowadays.
Like, Mighty No. 9 was such a high-profile title, and it's been delayed how many times now? And people are hoping that it comes out in February.
Like the fucking River City game.
Yeah.
I mean, that was, what, 2 years ago?
Something like that. I know Kotaku had an article about a bunch of failed Kickstarters that just, like, they made their goal, but then they just kind of, like, disappeared. And one of them, it got funded, and it was supposed to, I believe, release in 2014. And now they announced their date is in 2018.
That's, you can't announce a date that far out.
Like, what? How? Like,
you can't
how
even,
do
you that's not even
fuck
right.
Up
yeah.
That bad.
Or how do you even know that you'll be ready in 36 months? Because that's such a ridiculous, you know, distance.
Yeah, I'm happy that I have had a limited number of campaigns that I've kickstarted, and that's Shantae, which I trust way forward because they don't know how to fuck up, I don't believe. Amplitude, which is coming out in January.
The only games I kickstarted was Shovel Knight and the fucking River City one.
Yeah, Shovel Knight,
and,
that's
and,
one.
Among the Sleep, which delivered on time.
Yeah, that just that released on PS4, I think, like a week or two ago.
Yeah, I did it on Steam, and I got it last year.
And I think it's hitting Xbox One early next year as well.
Good. I'll play it on Xbox One.
Nice. I'll have to hit them up and inquire about review copies, and I'll make you do something for once.
I forget where they're from. They're from Norway or Denmark, something like that.
They're not from Pittsburgh, we know that.
Yeah.
So how does it feel to live in the home of the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Disappointing sometimes. Like, I'm not a huge sports fan, but when they're not doing well and the sports fans are kind of feeling it, it's just kind of this like ominous cloud over everything.
Congratulations to the Steelers for being the first NFL team in history to have three head coaches with 60-plus wins.
Yeah.
In the history of football.
We've also only had three coaches since the 70s.
In 33 years. So you could potentially be the first ones with three coaches to 100 wins and then 150 wins.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
It's ridiculous. I'm an Eagles fan.
Ha ha, you stupid asshole.
Honestly, the one thing that I miss about Pittsburgh is fatheads.
Oh, yeah.
Cause,
well, our office used to be in the south side, and it was like a 10-minute walk to there.
Oh, that's dangerous as shit. I first went there for my friend's bachelor party. Everyone met there. And I'm like, well, I had dinner. I'll just get the $5 bucket of fried mushrooms. They put a goddamn 20-pound fucking plate of fried mushrooms in front of me. I swear to God. Like, so I went back there with a coworker for work, actually. I was lucky enough that I was stationed at McGuire. They sent me to Pittsburgh National Guard Base to calibrate some stuff that they couldn't ship. So I got paid to spend a week in Pittsburgh, which is great. You should try it sometime.
No, I'm good.
And I went to Fatheads, and I told him, I'm like, dude, anything you order is three times bigger than you assume. He's like, nah, man, I'm hungry. So I'll get this burger, I'll get a side of fries, and I'll get the potato skins. you know, and you've been to Fat Ed's. They gave him like a pound patty burger, a bucket of fries, and then three full Idaho potatoes that had just been cut in half and put shit put on top of
them. He's still eating that meal today.
And his bill came to like $20.
That sounds low.
Jesus.
Yeah.
For the food.
Oh, the amount?
Yeah.
Well, this was almost a decade ago, so the portions might have gotten bigger.
Well, I know where I'm going to take a road trip to sometime.
Yeah, that the only place here that's comparable would be the Heart Attack Grill, and that's where they people over 350 pounds eat free there, and like four people have actively died of heart attacks while eating there,
and their obituaries are framed.
There's an actual calibrated scale outside of the restaurant, so you can step on just to see if you qualify for free food.
Son of a bitch, I'm only 348.
Let me run to CVS real quick, get myself some chocolate.
gonna chug a 2-liter quick. I'll be back. Can I order now and then come back when I'm 350?
I'm on Pittsburgh. I like Pittsburgh, but you guys, how did Pittsburgh manage to develop its own language? You know, like you say you're from Allentown, you've noticed that people ask you for gum bands and shears now.
I don't know how language works. I'm not a whatever the hell people study language are, but yeah, I've been around some of that. I know. I've actually, my one friend was visiting from New York, and he was like, "You have an accent now," and I was like, "No, I don't." And then, lo and behold, I probably picked up some of it. But yeah, the big one is always the whole yins.
Yins,
the Pittsburgh way of saying you.
Yeah.
Is someone from New York really going to claim that you have an accent? It's like, hey, man, you got a fucking accent now, dude.
New York State versus any borough in New York City.
This is New York State, friend. This is not New York City.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
You got a fucking accent, dude.
You're not even – see, but that wouldn't even be a Queens accent, what you're trying to do there, Joe, which I'm not sure what you're trying to do there.
I still – who was it? The mayor of Pittsburgh or one of the towns around Pittsburgh called Donald Trump a jagoff?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Oh, that was amazing.
Well, I know the mayor of Philly just called him an asshole.
Nice. Pennsylvania just, for you. So
straightforward and simple.
I went to college for one brief, wonderful semester in Wilkes-Barre, and I had a friend who was from Allentown, and he liked to call it the largest city with nothing to do in Pennsylvania.
Sounds about right. Yeah, no, it's always, we never actually did anything in Allentown growing up. We always went through Allentown. So yeah, it's not the, I haven't been there in a long time. I don't know. Maybe they're trying to build it up, but from growing up, from growing up, seems like a pretty accurate statement.
Yeah. Joe and I are from, you know, a small town called Berwick. Yeah, we can attest to that. Like, you never spent Friday night in Berwick if you could help it.
Yeah, well, if you grew up near Allentown, I'm sure you've at least heard of the Berwick Bulldogs.
Nope.
Well, no,
we
really?
We also didn't ask, when did you graduate high school?
Oh, God. 2005?
So, you... Weird. Yeah, no, we were on our downward slope then, Joe. Yeah, so.
True.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure you at least heard of the Bloomsburg Fair.
Yes, not okay. Yet.
We're like Berwick is like 10 minutes away from that.
Mm. Just bumped up against.
Yeah.
And I loved growing up in Berwick because when I met people from Philly or Pittsburgh, I realized just how lucky I was to learn the rest of the state because I had to. People from Philly, they can be 20 years old and have no fucking idea the name of a town 10 miles north of Philly. There's no clue, because there's no reason for them to go 10 miles north of Philly.
Yeah.
Yeah, as I appreciate. I'll rag on Pittsburgh a little bit, but it's really cool that you've got that there are game studios there and that you guys are trying to create some indie hype. That's really cool.
Are you guys going to start like a gang war with the developers in Philly?
Yeah, the PHL Collective guys.
You can think of that. Man, that'd be fantastic.
No, those are cool guys. I met them at Unite, actually, this year, conference about Unity. They're pretty cool. No, we're not going to start a gang war or state war or anything. But,
oh, you should. That'd be so cool.
You could meet up in the middle and have a knife fight now in town and make something fun happening.
No, meet up in State College. That's like middle of the state.
We'd have to go to Lancaster and freak all the Amish people out. That's pretty much in the middle near State College.
Yeah, but then no one would be – the victors wouldn't be able to toast to their victory because they'd be in a dry county.
That's true.
You'll just have to have like Amish alcohol, the moonshine, hidden bootleg shit.
Literally in the wooden bootleg of one of the Amish guys who lost his foot.
Oh, my Lord.
We are way off of every topic now.
Welcome to SML, I guess.
This reminds me of some friends and I did a podcast in college, and this was essentially like the same way ours went. It would start off like, we're going to talk about issues of gaming. 10 minutes later, we're making jokes about how the vending machine is broken and we're paying all this tuition or something else.
And believe it or not, but this is what a lot of the people we've talked to who are fans of us would rather hear than just a straight up interview.
Tell us your inspirations for creating the characters you've created.
Hey, we hit that game hard. I honestly think I asked more questions about your game than I usually do. Why is there a goddamn Dulcim motherfucker fucking my day up?
Yeah, it's not as funny anymore.
Good. That means you're picking up.
I think you ran it into the ground a little bit.
I did like the only other character was Brian Harrisworth III, which I liked. He had that Blanca similarity with the electric field.
Mm-hmm.
That I was not prepared for that when I jump kicked him.
So did the Blanca motherfucker fuck your fucking shit up or whatever you want to say?
I was playing as Mai, so I just threw an ice ball at him like 18 times.
Nice. Gotta cheese him as much as you can.
Well, there's no fortunately there's no double ice backfire in Battle High 2.
Another Shale reference.
Yeah.
That's two in one episode.
Yeah. So yeah, freezing the character. Well, you don't really freeze him; you just hit him. So I didn't have to worry about freezing myself by throwing too many ice balls at them.
Oh yeah.
Ice balls. Journalism.
Though, whoever did your voice acting for Michelle, though, props to them for sounding truly angry and insane after winning every bout.
Yeah, that was someone named Amanda Lee, who is a professional voice actor, I believe. Actually, okay. We have a lot of cool voice acting. I don't want to like go into it a lot, but that was one thing between 1 and 2 that was kind of a big change. Is I met a fan of the game who was like, "Hey, I want to do some voice acting," and he hooked us up with a lot of cool voice actors. So that was my first time working with voice acting, which is really tough because you get different recordings from different people. Some people do it in like professional setups, and some don't. So it gets kind of hectic to try to edit all that. But it was still fun to work with.
Well, I'm glad that you said she was a professional voice actress, because it was either that or someone who's you legitimately just recorded a crazy person who needs therapy.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting some, like my cousin did one character, but then also Kyle Hebert, who does the voice of Ryu in Street Fighter, did one of the characters.
Oh, so wow.
We have a wide variety of talent on
That's
the game.
Cool.
Yet you somehow didn't get Troy Baker?
He was busy doing 87 other games that day.
Go figure. It's the only game he's not in this fall.
Troy Baker is the Troy Baker actually did the voice of the father in Octodad.
Oh, my Lord.
I'm
pretty sure I get someone to believe that.
Probably.
I almost did.
Here you go, Troy. That's $50. Thanks.
Well, if you ever have DLC characters, I would love to do a voice sometime. I have a face for radio, so I'm perfect.
Well,
there.
They already have a chubby guy who wears a cape. I don't think they need another one.
I don't wear a cape.
Should you?
I mean, I might be able to pull one off.
Just send them a photo of your out of work wrestler that you wore to Magfest.
Oh, Zangief, Jesus.
Zangief, yeah, he makes something out of that.
Fat retired Zangief.
And bam, there's the picture for this episode.
Oh, man, I can't do that to our listeners. That's just mean.
Joe wore a giant floor-length pink bathrobe to Magfest a couple years ago, and did his hair up in Zangief style, and then walked around with a sign. What did it say, Will...
It said we'll bear hug for money.
Money, yeah.
And I made like 20 some bucks from people who just wanted hugs.
Yeah. And it was legitimately funny. People actually were like, you look like if Zangief had just taken a wrong turn in life somewhere.
It's like I'm balding, so it was like a balding mohawk going on. Just looked horrible. Angry bird slippers, you can't forget those.
But it looked like it looked good. It was a well thought out, imaginative cosplay. And I think the only cosplay you've ever done.
Yeah, that's the only thing I've ever done.
The only thing, not even cosplay, just in 35 years, it is the only thing
you've ever done. That's the only thing I've ever done in life, was I dressed up as a fat retired Zangief.
That makes sense.
That's my life. Going strong. Going strong. So what games inspired Battle High? Like, what kind of fighting games did you enjoy recently that made you want to make Battle High?
The recently word.
Yeah.
Well, recently.
Because you mentioned, like, the older, like, Rival Schools and...
Yeah, King of Fighters.
And anything newer that kind of has your fighting game juices flowing?
I really liked the first Blaze Bloom, which is sort of where I tried to go. I was like, oh, here's a fighting game that doesn't have, you know, the 20XX story, or as I call it, it's just the sort of like, it's sort of modern day, but the technology's slightly more advanced, but not really. And it takes place in the real world. Like, I feel like Tekken, Street Fighter, King of Fighters all kind of take place in that universe. So I tried to, so Blaze Bloom was one game that I was like, wow, this is a story that's, you know, very different. I won't say it's good or bad, but it's just very different. And though I didn't really like the way they delivered story, that was sort of some of my influence for like how to go about story delivery. But a lot of my influence are a lot older. Like Darkstalkers 3 is a big influence.
Dang. I'd say Blaze Blue was the first fighting game I ever played where story actually got in the way of fighting.
Yeah, that was the sequels are almost worse. At least so Calamity Trigger I think is the first one, and then I forget the second one. But that one I actually like couldn't get through the story mode because it was I think the one it took me 20 minutes to get, and all it was just game over. It was like, oh, you did this battle and the story ended, and I was so angry. Like I wanted like it's just the worst.
I think Blaze Blue is the first fighting game I ever bought that came with a DVD telling me how to play it.
Yeah. And that's what drove me nuts about that game was like, oh, it's so much simpler, except that you have to memorize 7,000 combos.
Who the hell said Blaze Blue is simple?
Tim.
He's a fucking liar.
All of the X-Ray guys were talking it up like the best damn fighting game since fucking Street Fighter 2.
It's good, but it's not simple.
So easy to master.
Yeah, no, right.
I find all Arxis games, like Blaze Blue and Guilty Gear, like they look awesome, and you can pick them up and do a lot of cool stuff, but they're so hard to really get deep into.
Yeah, I couldn't beat it with a single character. I bought it and I returned it like 2 weeks later out of frustration. I'm like, I can't. I will never play this game. I'll just go play Marvel Capcom some more.
Did you pick up the Blaze Blue that's on Xbox One?
No, I bought it 6 years ago, the original Blaze.
I'm not asking you, Pappy. Shut the fuck up. No one likes you.
Go blow my nose again.
I'm talking to a guest.
I have not bought a new Blaze Blue update since the second one. Because, well, it's a combination of they changed the main character I played so much that it just was hard. Like, I just wasn't getting into it. And the story, it was the combination of the story mode and they changed my main character. I played Arakune, who I know he's cheap and broken as shit in the first game, but it was still the character I enjoyed playing. And then they changed him so much in the second one that it wasn't just like, it was just like, I'm not really feeling it anymore.
I'm trying to think what the one on Xbox One, I think it's Chrono Phantasma Extend.
That sounds about right.
Because they need to have stupid names too. I actually picked it up. I think Amazon had it for $20. Which everyone else has it for 50, so I saw it for 20 and I grabbed it. And I figure one of these days I'll fire it up and give it a go. And then get my ass kicked because I'm terrible at fighting games.
You should wait because they're making another one.
Oh, God.
I forget. I think its name is Extend and then it has like a dash R or something after it.
Oh, Lord.
Or it has a whole new name. I don't know what it is, but... That is one thing I will say about Street Fighter V that's coming out that I'm kind of not excited for per se, but I like the whole idea that they're not going to do the Ultra and the Super again. They're going to try and say it's Street Fighter V and it's one long game, but...
The thing is, they said they were going to do that with Street Fighter 4, and they didn't. So that's, I don't believe them this time either.
That's nice. I'm skeptical like that as well. And especially because another thing is they said, oh, you don't have to buy the new characters. But they never really said how long you'll have to play to get the new characters when they release in that first DLC update. So I'm optimistic, but also skeptical.
The fact that it's PlayStation only is completely turned me off from it.
Which game? Wasn't it also PC?
Yeah, true. I'm not a PC gamer though, because
neither am I. But I just thought it was funny when I heard people say like, "Oh, it's PlayStation only," and then it's on PC, and I'm like, "It's not technically."
Are we talking Street Fighter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, I actually had Street Fighter V pre-ordered. I had the collector edition pre-ordered. I wanted the Ryu statue, and I'm never going to call him Ryu. I wanted the Ryu statue that came with it. I had it pre-ordered, and I was going to just get it and play it and enjoy it despite being PlayStation only. And then they had the interview with the director of Street Fighter V, and someone asked him, "What do you say to Xbox owners who are disappointed that your game's not coming to Xbox?" And he said, "It's the perfect time to buy a PS4. It's pretty affordable right now."
Yeah, but PlayStation probably gave him a couple grand to say that.
But just the fact that that's a developer's answer is, "Oh, it's a good time to buy a PS4. Fuck you.
Nah, I guarantee that was some kind of fucking paid out slot or some shit.
Even
you know?
Still, that's such a dickish thing to say.
It is. It's, you know, because so many people with this generation had to choose because they could only afford one or the other.
Yeah. The
everybody's
day
just saying,
that...
well, if you're middle class, then you should just go buy both. And yeah. How many people are, you know, below the fucking middle class line who gaming is their outlet and they can afford one?
Yeah. The day that interview came out and I read that, I went on to Amazon, canceled my pre-order. I will put that money towards Killer Instinct Season 3 instead.
Season 3 has already been announced?
It's coming out, I think, January or February.
I think it's going to start probably around that time.
Probably. I'm wondering
That's a game I want to play more, but I just have not gotten around to it.
I wonder if they're going to do another Ultra Edition like they did with the first two seasons. And if they do, how they're going to make it worth it now that they already released the two Killer Instinct games, the original arcade games. Like, what kind of bonus are they going to give now?
Oh.
So, who knows? I have the first two Ultra Season Editions, so hopefully we'll see what they do with the third one.
Things. They will do things.
Yeah. It's actually funny you bring up the point about Street Fighter V being PlayStation only, because Battle High 2 is only Xbox One only. But that's not me being like, you should just buy both. It's mostly it's a real pain in the ass to try and, for a small team, aka one person, to try and port a game between consoles.
Well, yeah, and you said it was an Ouya, so for our listeners who have Ouya somewhere,
for
can't keep a straight face.
Yeah, people don't need to buy a PS4. They could buy an Ouya instead, which is probably a better investment.
Way more cheaper. Way more cheaper. More better cheapest value.
But I was looking into actually doing a Wii U version at one point, and I was like, well, I could probably get a PlayStation dev kit, maybe, but it's just sort of, it's nice to be able to focus on one, make sure that one is working as well as it can before trying to port it to a bunch of other things.
I'd say, honestly, I think this game would be kind of fun on the Wii U.
I was going to say, I think a Wii U version would be pretty cool, actually.
Yeah. Especially I don't know how many people would play this type of game with the gamepad, but one nice thing is I could, like, oh, here's the character's command list in the gamepad as you play.
Yeah.
Do something
there
like that.
Yeah.
Hell, I was playing Smash Brothers right before the show. Pappy's like, I'm on Skype and I'm ready. I'm like, give me a couple minutes because
I thought you were doing something important.
I just fucking downloaded Cloud and I was in the middle of a match.
You son of a bitch.
Goddamn right.
I'm here. I'm ready to do some volume tests.
Dude, Cloud and Smash Brothers, you are not important to me, Pappy. Compared to
Cloud
cares, and Smash Brothers.
Is it Cumulonimbus?
Yes.
Okay. It's a Thunderhead.
Duh.
Because I save to the Cloud all the time. You don't see me getting excited.
What are your thoughts on Smash Brothers?
I suck at Smash. I don't know why. It's one of those games I played. I was like, oh, this is fun for a 64. And then I went to college, and Melee was, like, really big. But the way people played it, I just could not enjoy the whole Final Destination no items thing.
Yeah, fuck that. You need items.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you think that, but I know some people who just they hate playing that way. They hate playing with the items because they think it makes it too random. But my problem is I just have a hard time telling what's going on. Like, I just find the characters are kind of small and everything's kind of zoomed out, especially when you have like a room of four or more people. But I just never learned the game, and I don't enjoy it enough to spend hours trying to, you know, get really good at it. And you know, my coworkers can attest to it. I just hate Smash. I don't. Hey, I'll never Smash be. It's awesome, but I'm just not. I just don't enjoy it.
I think it's a fun party game. I don't honestly ever play with people who take it seriously enough to practice it. Like,
yeah, I'll never be a tournament Smash player. I am a party Smash player.
Joe is an asshole at Pikachu, though. Don't let him lie to you. He will totally fucking lightning bolt your ass and cheese it off the fucking map.
At least I'm not like one of those people who like ledge guard and shit like that. Like,
I don't even know what those phrases mean.
Like, if someone tries getting back to the ledge, they'll like drop onto it so someone else can't grab it.
Ledge guarding, okay.
Yeah, it's so fucking, like, the tournaments for that are so crazy.
It is funny because when Joe and I were playing the original Smash when we were teenagers, Jesus.
Back in our day.
We just played for fun, and we thought, hey, this is a great alternative to the craziness of like Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat. And now you see the Smash tournaments are fucking, I think, more brutal than some of the other fighting games in terms of like the precision and the insanity that people put into this crap.
I'm just excited about the final two characters for Smash Brothers.
Who do they? They announced another Fire Emblem guy, didn't they?
Yeah, Corrin from Fire Emblem Fates, which is the one coming out in February. And fucking Bayonetta is going to be in Smash.
I agree with Henry Jones. The Kirby Bayonetta is the only important thing now.
Kirby Bayonetta. Oh,
Kirby
shit.
Sucking up Bayonetta and seeing what Kirby looks like afterwards. That's all that matters.
That'll be awesome. I'm just excited that they announced that Bayonetta and Cloud are both going to have amiibo. So I need to add to the collection. The collection on my shelves. I have a problem. My name's Joe and I'm an amiibo addict. Is Ashley gives me a dirty look.
So anyhow.
Pappy, do you want to ask your question that you like asking?
Yeah, my question I like is a question of relaxation. So when you're not... Oh, listening to me burp into the microphone. When you're not working on your game actively, what games do you like to play as kind of a wind down or a relaxation?
It's a good question. Because lately, because I've been so busy with the release, I haven't really played a lot. And this is going to sound really dumb. As a developer, I have this weird, not phobia, but this hesitation to play stuff when I'm in the middle of development because I'm afraid it's going to like influence me too heavily. So I'll be like, oh, I played Undertale. Oh no, I turned the entire story into Undertale. Like, I'll just get too influenced, so I kind of, like, stay away. But now that a vacation's coming up, I definitely want to play Hyrule Warriors, and I haven't even opened it yet, but I've had that on my shelf for a while. But I kind of like, when I'm not playing fighting games, it's a wide variety of things, like Resident Evil, survival horror games I enjoy. Though I tried to play Dead Space the other day, and I rage quit that.
I can't get over how much of the screen your character takes up. That's what I never enjoyed with Dead Space.
My problem is when a game has a really strong narrative, I don't like when it's too hard because it's like you are preventing me from seeing this story that some poor game writer had to write, but now I can't see it because this stupid-ass boss killed me 4 times in a row.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking load times are like 20 minutes.
Yeah, my recommendation, have you ever played or have you ever heard of Team Four Star? The guys who do the they do a YouTube they do Dragon Ball Z Abridged.
I've heard of that.
They have a gaming channel, and the guy who does the voice of Krillin, they make him play survival horrors. So I recommend just watch Krillin plays Dead Space and laugh at someone staying as little bitch Krillin in character playing a survival horror game.
But yeah, I'm trying to think of other games, but yeah, mostly. It's a wide variety of things. But yeah, if a game is too hard and it has good narrative, I usually just don't bother now.
It's actually something we discussed when a Bloober team was on with Layers of Fear, is that they put a lot of focus in making a horror game that makes you not want to stop playing because it gets like a boss kills you, or you don't want to deal with the combat or anything else, where theirs is just an experience and you're not fighting the game.
There's only like 5 spots to die at, and you can avoid them pretty easily. But by the way, if you like survival horror, Layers of Fear is a great one.
All right.
It was one of the first Xbox
game preview titles.
Yeah, so you can buy it right now and get 2/3 of the game with the promise of getting the rest of the game when it's finished.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, that's one thing I'm actually curious to your opinion. The whole thing in modern gaming with the whole, I don't release the game when it's quite done, or we update later with a patch.
If it's an indie game and you've got something, and like with these guys, you know, hey, why not do that instead of do a Kickstarter to finish the game, you know? And I think, you know, it was popular enough. I'm sure it sold enough that they're going to be able to finish it, no problem.
Yeah.
My problem is the big studios, you know,
like with Final Fantasy VII when they announced that.
Oh my god!
My problem is fucking. And I bring this up a lot. Tony Hawk 5.
Oh.
That's a legitimate studio. That's fucking bullshit, you know?
Yeah, the fact that the game on disc was like 4.6 gig and the patch was 7?
7.8.
Oh, jeez.
Like, that's something that should never be.
Yeah. So I'm with you. I definitely think if a large studio is putting out a game, there should not be day one patches. But it is what it is now. Like,
no, see, I don't have a problem with day one patches because shit's always going to slip through.
A day one patch catch the little shit, but if it's, yeah, we're talking a couple of meg or less. You know, like a 5 meg patch.
Well, 5 meg patches don't exist anymore. This isn't the 360 days anymore.
Okay. But like, yeah, once you break
off. If you don't release a broken game, you're doing okay.
Yeah, because what, by the time fucking that Assassin's Creed Brotherhood game is done, it's a Brotherhood that was a shit
Unity.
One?
Unity was.
I mean, but when all is said and done, they're going to have like tripled the size of the game before they patch everything. You know,
I do enjoy games that come out in like a game preview format because it's a good way to see if it's a title that you want to follow, or if you look at something like Ark Survival Evolved, which released, I believe tonight it releases on Xbox One game preview. Well, we're getting to play it now where it's not going to release on the PS4 until it's released.
Okay.
So we get to enjoy that game early. We get to buy it at a reduced price.
Are you looking forward to eating your own shit?
Yes, obviously. Who wouldn't?
just curious.
Dude, I'm going to do that
later. I
watched
a bunch of guys pull that game so hard when it was on the PC like 2 months ago.
We're actually going to be talking about that game either this week or next week, one of them.
Where's my coat?
I only got one, so suck a dick.
Oh. Well, no,
buy it. You have a military job. Buy it.
I have a military job, so obviously. Just dropped $800 from MAGFest.
Yeah. You should go to MAGFest. Have you ever been there?
Me? No. I wanted to, and then by the time I was like, oh, I should buy tickets, I was like, oh, I think they're already sold out or whatever.
No, tickets are never sold out.
The hotels.
Yeah.
The hotel stuff. That's what I meant. Yeah, the hotels
are
sold
out. Honestly, sir, your best bet would be to contact and submit as an indie gamer.
Indeed.
And, as a game developer, and go do the indie dev showcase.
There you go.
You could show off your video games.
Showcase your game there and set it up and have people play it and be like, yeah, you could buy it now.
Start a turf war with the PHL Collective guys.
Yeah, go find the Clusterpuck guys and like challenge them to a dance-off.
That makes so much sense, though, because one's a fighting game, one's a just insane party game. So, of course, the dance-off has
You've
to
been
be the...
served, motherfuckers! Pennsylvania war, bitch! Pittsburgh for life.
That's the best way to be honest, too. If it's 1 versus 5, you know, the dance-off really prevents them from using numbers against you.
I don't know. If they choreograph a number...
These guys are from Philly. They're already drunk.
Oh, man. But we've been going at this for over an hour now, so I guess we could start wrapping things up. I'm not sure if there's anything else that you want to talk about with the game or anything else in general.
Not really. I just wanted to thank you guys for having me on to talk about it. I'm glad you're enjoying it, and hopefully in the future I can continue to release updates and support the game as opposed to just, you know, shipping it and forgetting it.
No, dude, it's a fun game. It really, you took out a lot of the stuff that I hated about newer fighting games and just left the bare bones.
It's just a basic, fun fighting game without too much fluff or flash or just the unnecessary stuff. It's just back to basics, good fighting game.
And you can see some influences, and others are wholly original, you know, characterizations, and it's a great mix. So, thank you for putting out a game, a fighting game that I enjoy.
Although, I will say on behalf of achievement hunters everywhere, fuck you.
Yeah.
You bastard.
I was going to go on a little bit about that, but essentially, long story short, the system of setting up achievements, kind of a pain. So that's why instead of doing like 100 individual ones, I was like, I just got to lump them into one per character because it will take me forever to do 100 individual ones. But I will keep that in mind in the future. I will not have achievements that difficult.
You should just find a way to change it to like everyone instead of getting all achievements for each character or all journal entries, change it to half.
Or
and
if.
Then and then the entire gaming world will thank you.
Yeah, well, I probably could do that in a patch, so we'll see.
There you go. There you go. We can change the world with this podcast.
I don't get achievements, so I don't know this.
Yeah, Shiz Black was like, oh, hey, are the achievements up for this yet? And it's like, oh, yeah, let me look at it. Get all journal entries for each character. And he's like, I wonder if that's going to be hard or not. And I'm like, oh, dude, we are all fucked. You got to beat the game with the hardest difficulty with every character. There's secret stuff for each character. You have to do all the challenges, all the I'm never going to get an achievement in the game unless it gets updated. I personally will never get an achievement in that game.
No, you got an achievement for beating the game once, didn't you?
No.
Well, that's a journal entry. That's not an Xbox gamer score achievement.
Hmm. All right.
Get your shit together, Pappy.
See, I told you I don't pay attention.
God damn. You're the worst at this. You're fired.
At what?
Something. I don't know.
All right. Let me look at the achievement list and see if I'm assuming I didn't accidentally get any of them. Judging
no,
by
because
goes.
I believe the achievements, if I'm correct, are earn all journal entries for each specific character and then earn all the entries for every character.
Okay. Yeah, no, I totally got like four of them already.
Yeah, okay.
No, I definitely did not.
I think my highest is at 60% complete.
I have unlocked journal entries, so I'm on my way. All right. I can definitely do it with Maya. I will just spam that fucking ice ball button just like a motherfucker.
Well, you might be able to beat it on the hardest difficulty, because I saw Shiz do it, and it didn't seem that bad for him, so I guess depending on the character, but I think doing all the challenges and everything else, it's not going to be easy.
I believe it.
You sadistic bastard.
Hey, I appreciate you doing something to tick off achievement hunters everywhere.
Yeah, true. You could have just made them all 0-point achievements, except for the one where you complete everything and make that just 1,000.
Just the bottom one of unlock all journal entries.
Oh my lord, that would have pissed everybody off.
I think that would have been worse, yeah.
That one might have actually gotten you threats, though. That might have taken things a little too far.
Getting death threats. Your achievements suck, dude. Fucking ass. But yeah, thank you for coming on. It has been an absolute blast talking with you and trying to set you up with Chris for music and an update and trying to force you to get me to do a voice in the game. And
thank you for putting up with our shit. Welcome to the podcast.
Just going
to
whore myself out.
You're our friend now.
All right.
You're stuck. We're like herpes. We never go away.
Oh, no.
Every time your game goes on sale, you're going to see us tagging you. Every time there's an update,
I'm sure he's really upset about that. Oh, no.
No. More press. My worst attribute in game dev.
We're never going to go away. And if you ever want to give away more copies of the game, we will gladly give them out. I know I believe I got one, Pappy got one, and I think I gave the other one to Shiz so that he could stream it and try getting the word out about the game.
I'm trying to spread the word. Honestly, we should, Joe, you and I should tweet out a couple of people and see if they'd be interested in trying the game.
Yeah, so there you go. If you ever have more codes to give away, we'll find people to take them.
All right, yeah, send me an email. Send me an email with all of the, when the stuff is on and people's emails, all this stuff.
Because I was thinking if a rival might want to give the game a try.
Ooh, that'd be a good idea. Yeah. Does he even have an Xbox One?
Oh, shit, no, maybe not. I don't know. He might.
We'll have to find out.
Yeah. What if he do?
Fuck, maybe he'll do a song for you.
Yeah. He might have an Ouya.
Maybe.
But anyhow.
Yeah. Music this episode is obviously going to be music from Battle High. I know you sent me the soundtrack, but they're all just like the character names. I'm not sure if you have the artist names for who did which tracks.
Oh, I know most of them offhand. Well, actually, all the ones I sent you are the updated ones by Jesse Valentine.
All right. So all of them. What about the Lucio one?
Oh, that one was the Alberto
Del Rio, WWE superstar Alberto Del Rio.
Or not, you know.
Oh my God, I'm drunk. So yeah. Oh my God, this episode's just falling apart. So music from Battle High, the game is available now on the Xbox One for a whopping $4.99. And if you can't spare the $5 for this game, you're a piece of shit.
Yeah. Says just, the guys who got DLC codes. Go buy it, motherfuckers.
Yeah. or hit us up if we get more codes and we'll hook you up because we
and
like
always email the show. We have codes for things.
Yes. The smlpodcast@gmail.com. Like we have all these codes to give away and you can get them. All you gotta do is like talk to us. Send us a worthwhile email of like, hey, there was this thing that is actually reminding me that we actually got an email from David Farley who he says, hi, just wanted to point out a mistake Pappy made before you make a mistake in your advertising. The Nerdist podcast is not on hiatus.
David Farrell, you finally write in.
The Indoor Kids podcast is on hiatus. I can understand the confusion, though, as the Indoor Kids is produced by Nerdist Industries. Anyway, thanks for filling the void created by the loss of the video game podcast I used to listen to. Your show directly contributed to my purchase of Starpoint Gemini 2. Thanks. So I'm guessing you know David Farley?
Coworker.
All right. So yeah, a good
friend of mine is a coworker. He's an awesome dude. And I finally convinced him to listen to the show. And of course I fuck up and he calls me out on it because that's what we do at work.
Good, you piece of shit. You'll have to find out if he's interested in any of the games we have codes for and hook him up.
All right. Well, he's an Xbox guy. So.
Well, yeah, we have a couple of games. So.
Steam and Xbox. So. All right. And on that note.
We'll give him Corgi Warlock for Steam.
Dude, I'm jealous if we give him Corgi Warlock. Before my nose just goes completely stuffed. Thanks again for being on the show, Matthew.
Yep.
And if you have any final words for our listeners, this is your chance to give a final message or a final joke or quip or insult towards us. This is your spotlight to say whatever you want. So final words for the episode.
Oh, shit. I hope you guys enjoy the game. You know, I'm on Twitter @MatrifiedGames, so, you know, I love to interact with people who have played the game, so if you played it and like it, or if you hate it, let me know.
And Pappy's a dick.
Okay, sure.
Yeah. In case the guests don't catch on to swearing at me, Joe does it for you before the show's over.
I have to. It's like a legal requirement to make fun of you at the end of each episode.
Who made it legal?